Broadcasting from KUCR Studios in UC Riverside, this is the Highlander Newsroom. I'm your host, Crystal Mims, joined today by...
Jessica Baker, Opinions Editor.
Robert Lees, Assistant Features Editor.
And Joseph Avila, Assistant News Editor.
All right, welcome to the newsroom, the people behind the paper. Thanks for joining us today. We're going to be talking about Food Week that happened last week on UCR's campus. There was a food truck festival and a lot of other demonstrations that happened. We're also going to be talking about the continuation of Our Gear by ASUCR. And we're also going to be talking about pumpkin spice, because pumpkin spice season is among us. And yes, and with that, we'll get started. So Food Week, did anyone attend anything that happened on campus, the food truck festival?
I've only like went to the food truck festival. That was like on last Wednesday or something like that.
Yeah. Did you try like anything, or you just kind of looked around?
I was actually kind of sad though, because like it was only for like how many hours was it? For like 3 hours?
Mm-hmm.
2 hours?
Yeah.
I was working, and then I got out like just like the last 30 minutes before like it ended. So I had like, I think I went to like the Monster Burger like food truck.
Oh, I had
one.
Your fries.
Yeah, you had my fries because you wanted fries. Yeah, but I had like a regular burger, but there was nothing special about it. The lobster place already closed down. The Greek place already closed down. The sushi place looked too sad for like my Japanese upbringing, so I didn't even try it out.
Okay. What about you guys?
Yeah, I actually went to two different food trucks. I went to one that I believe was they sold these potato things. It was a spiral.
Potato
thing.
Tornadoes.
Yeah. And I remember I had that at the Asian American Heritage Festival
potato
last
tornadoes.
Year. And it was really good. And I had this one, and it was not as good. Either I just didn't enjoy it as much, or something was weird. But I put sriracha on it. And then I also went to Baby's Burgers. It's a burger truck that had the shortest line. So I went there, and it was okay. I mean, it was a hamburger. There was nothing really great about it. So I went there, and I enjoy food, and I enjoy the food trucks, but sometimes the lines are so long that I just look at them, and I'm just like, yeah, I wish.
Yeah. I really, like, the only thing that deters me is the pricing, because sometimes
the pricing of it.
But I mean, I understand, like, if you're going to bring something unique to the campus, you're going to want to get money out of it, and, like, people going there, like, you can only find it there, or at least you can't find it otherwise.
I mean, also typically though, like food trucks are usually just pretty expensive.
Yeah,
even off campus too.
That's true. Yeah. So like bringing it on campus is like, I don't know, there's a lot of people who don't want to spend like $7 or $8 on a burger, even though Latitude I think has somewhat of similar prices. But that's the point.
Food on campus isn't exactly cheap, so I didn't balk under the price as much. And I quite like food trucks because I feel like it's a very pure way to eat food. Because with restaurants, you have to worry about wait time and, oh, was the service nice, or was the decor good? Food truck is really simple. It's just like you can judge it based purely on the quality of the meal that you ate, and you don't have to worry about any other non-food related nonsense.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, but I think I spent almost $8 on something I got from, I forget which truck it was, honestly.
The crepe truck, I thought.
The crepe truck.
Oh, my God.
Yes. And it was really good, though. So I was happy that I got it, but I was just kind of hesitant because I was like, this is pretty expensive. But, yeah, I mean, food on campus is pretty expensive, unless you go to Subway or something.
Why don't you go to Subway, though? It makes me so sad.
Yep.
I mean,
The cheeses are so sad.
I mean, it's like, it's good if you're like, willing to not think about like how good
and you're hungry. That's
yeah, if you're hungry,
it's perfect when you're not willing to think about life and maybe a possible life that you
it's
have.
It's really disappointing when it's really disappointing when you're looking for public transit and you only end up with a sandwich.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's a first pun. It's a first pun strike.
Yeah. There was other stuff? I didn't know that.
I didn't even know
where they were held at when I read through. I was like, whoa, there was
classes.
Yeah,
there was like cooking demonstrations at the SRC kitchen and special foods like just served at the hub and the dining halls, like I think grass-fed beef, like burgers, and like they were trying to get fancy, you know. And also there was like little sampling tents, I think, out like on Tuesday which I'm kind of sad that I missed, because I remember seeing this last year and like some of the food was pretty good, and so I'm sad, like, and it was free, like I would have been really happy to try things. But yeah, there was a lot of other stuff going on that I wasn't really aware of. But we're the only UC, I believe, that has like a food week, not a just a food day.
Really?
A food day is all the UCs do that. What do you guys think about that? Do you think like it's important, or like, because I know they're trying to like help students like eat healthier and things like that through their demonstrations, and like a lot of the food they were serving at the tents were very like healthy.
Health conscious.
Yeah. So I don't know. Do you think it's cool that we're doing that? You know, like, do you think it's helpful for students at all?
Or I think it's nice, but maybe if there's a little more advertising exposure,
definitely.
Because mm-hmm. I know the food truck festival is happening. They have those posters in the hub and around campus, but the other stuff, like the cooking demos or the tent setup, I think mm-hmm. part of the reason that the whole food week came as a surprise to me is because I learned about it today.
Right.
I was reading our topic. So I know there's cooking demonstrations at the RSRC because I went to one of those once. But yeah, typically I didn't even know there was a food week.
I didn't even know the purpose of food week was in terms of educating. I thought it was just kind of like, students, here's a fun thing to do. Like it was, I mean, like, it's not like food week's not a fun thing to do, but I didn't know like the purpose is tied into education.
Because
I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wouldn't call it helpful. It's definitely like a cool thing to have if you want to spend that money on a food truck food, but I mean, I feel like, yeah, they should definitely do better next year with, like, advertising for it. Because I feel like they could bring more people to it.
Or at least, like, with the food trucks, maybe, like, get, like, really specific, like, more healthier kind of foods. Because, it's, like, a lot of burgers. There was, like, sushi that was, like, infused with, like, other things. I think there was, like, one sushi that was, like, it was covered in, like, special mayo and, like, sriracha. I'm just be like,
really?
No, I'm good.
That's the type of sushi I eat.
That's the kind of sushi I avoid, or else my ancestors will mock me.
Making healthy food costs more, and it takes usually a little more time to make something presentable.
Right.
So I think if I was owning a food truck and you have to sell a certain amount each day because you don't have long-term storage and the stuff is going to spoil, I would want to serve, like, burgers or Korean tacos or something, because you know people are going to buy it and there's less overhead. I mean, it makes business sense, so yeah. Maybe the lobster truck is the notable exception to that rule.
I mean, that makes sense in terms of, like, general food trucks, but in terms of, like, food week, like, there was, like, the natural Goodwins, like, there was
a Goodwins. Yeah.
And that's, like, that's proof, like, one, there can be, like, a food truck. But, I mean, I don't know. I mean, that required some, like, more looking, but honestly, the food truck festival in general was just kind of cool. I hope they don't, like, morph it to make it more healthy.
Yeah.
Because
I know they're holding it now, like, twice a year, I believe.
Oh, that's perfect.
So, yeah.
Hopefully I'll get to go again before I graduate.
Yeah. I mean, I enjoy it. I just like food, but,
Or you could come back for it, yeah. As
yeah, just come back.
Just for food truck
Just
week.
For the...
Yeah. So it's pretty cool. Now we're going to switch gears. We're going to be talking about our gear.
Oh, delightful.
On strike two.
Okay.
This one is sanctioned.
You are going to get slapped, possibly.
Yeah, so ASUCR has decided to continue our gear. Then now they're going to be having sweaters that I believe they're not going to be saying, you know, class of 2018, but, you know, they're going to continue to hand out sweaters. And also, they reduced the cost. It's about $21,000 less than it cost last year.
Would you like to know the Pacific cost this year?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Apparently, the Pacific cost this year is, down to the cent, $30,000, $728.88. I did not say that right. $30,728.88.
Okay.
Like.
Yeah, so that's how much it will cost in total.
Right.
So, I guess just, what do you guys think about the R gear in general?
I think one thing that they definitely took in stride this time was, like, they're much more visible of, like, how much it costs.
Right.
So I remember last year, like, we're all just like, okay, it's like $20,000 about. But, like, and then it turned out later on when they became more, it was like $50,000. Like, that's 50, like, dude, I could have gone, like, to our pantry.
Yeah. And that's way more than a year of tuition.
But, like,
that's just crazy.
Right. And, like, now that they're actually announcing it in ASUCR, I think this is the first time they actually announced it at ASUCR for, like, the first time the school year, they've actually, like, got it down to the cent. Like, that's, like, improvement right there in terms of visibility.
True.
Really
being
go.
Very transparent.
True, it's great.
Yeah. Yeah. I really like, I think, too, like, this was a result of budget, different kinds of budgeting this year, like moving money around and making the budget a lot more, like, cost efficient or whatever, however you would say, like, they're putting the money towards, like, things that that matter more. Now, do I think that the ArtGear program is, like, I don't know, useful to students? I mean, it gives them a free sweatshirt that would otherwise cost them, like, $40 or $50, so that's cool. But there's a limit on how much is given out, so it doesn't really reach all students. But, I mean, I'm sure if you get a free sweatshirt, you think it's pretty cool. If you don't, you probably don't have much of an opinion on it.
I guess it's better this year because I didn't know much about it last year. I remember seeing a line in the hub and being like, oh, there's a line in the hub, and my kind of thoughts began and end there. But I know a lot of people are really salty, and I think it's good that they're handing out free stuff because the some of the school gear and clothing you can get is quite expensive. I know for my UCR sweater, I got a sweatshirt at Goodwill, and I wrote UCR on it in black. Yeah. Nice. With black Sharpie. Nice. My school spirit's DIY. But honestly, I think it's good if people can get free stuff. I know you have to hashtag it. So for someone that has an antagonistic relationship with social media, it doesn't really directly benefit me. But, I mean, people get a free clothes out of it. I guess that's nice.
Yeah. I feel like anything for free, people will be, like, on board with. I think, like you guys mentioned, last time it was just that nobody really knew how much it cost, and then when everyone did find out, it was kind of just like, why?
Yeah,
like,
no, especially decide? With the art pantry, like, not maybe receiving all its funds or something like that. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah, but now they're being very clear about how much they're spending on it, so you know.
And also, like, some people can make the counter argument, like, do students really want this? But apparently, like, they actually did a survey, like, there was a survey conducted by ACCR, and like 89% of the people said, like, yes, I want it back. Like, that's really strong for a survey, so
right.
I mean, honestly, I don't care about sweaters. I don't care about sweaters. But, like, if other people care about sweaters and they get their stuff, that's great.
So, Robert, you made your own, like, UCR sweater. Wait, do you guys have
a UCR sweater?
Any UCR, like, gear at all?
Really?
It's always too much to
Like, not even any, into. Like, sort of gear.
I have a shirt that says UCR on it.
Okay.
But,
yeah, that counts.
It was given to me, like, when I came to the dorms.
So. That still counts.
That's the only thing I have too.
I
have the shirt that I got when I went to the dorms, but that was two sizes ago, so now I use it I think I used it like to wipe up paint or something. I have the little pin I got for orientation, and I have the sweater I made myself. I mean, is it technically free? Where does the money come from? Does it come from student fees?
Yes, it comes from
fees.
So
I guess it's like we all get to pay for a certain number of people to benefit.
Right.
But, I mean, that cost $30,000 spread across 30,000 people is like $1 a person.
Yeah, that's not that bad, honestly.
So, yeah, I mean, if everyone got a sweater, it'd probably cost a lot more.
Yeah.
And I just can't think of standing in line for that long.
Well, I honestly can't see, like, the point of, like, investing for everybody to get a sweater because, like, it's just a sweater. Some people care about it. Some people don't.
Yeah.
Right.
Hypothermia is no joke, Jessica.
You know what? You can solve that hypothermia by other means than just a sweater. Yeah. Let me give you a blanket, sir.
Yeah, I think it was cool, too, that they, like, I don't know, redirected funds. Like, they saved funds because I remember Shafi was talking about he took it from other things that they were spending money on that they shouldn't have been, and he decided to redirect it, so that's how they saved so much money. So I thought that was really cool. Like, it wasn't trying to be like a, I don't know, like a PR campaign for ASUCR. It was like, I want to, like, give back to the students, and that's where it kind of came from. I thought that was really cool to hear from someone who's part of ASUCR.
And I guess some specifics, if you don't mind me reading verbatim. Apparently, he said about $15,000 were made in budget cuts, and like from some of the usages were like eliminate food costs for meetings, some promotional expenses, and reduce students' work hours.
And candy, don't forget the candy.
And there was candy.
Our quote of the week is
they were spending $1,000 on candy.
Candy
like, for them to have.
Oh my god, okay, well, and apparently, like, everybody, like, unanimously voted to, like, we don't need candy, so, like, that's perfect. Yeah. I mean, I know they work really long hours, and I'm very sorry for, I mean, like, because I heard the meetings go on, like, how long do the meetings go on?
Anywhere from, like, an hour to 3-4 hours.
How can I get in on some of this $1,000 worth of candy? Pay a visit to the ASUCR office?
I want them all to be Reese's Pieces Buttercup.
I think this could be a classic example of how the Highlander shows great self-sufficiency, because the candy dish on my desk comes out of my wallet.
Wow.
Yeah.
for you, Robert.
I usually take the candy that's provided to me by Crystal.
Half of it probably gets eaten by me anyway, though, so it's kind of, I guess that's a self-sustaining economy.
You guys should, like, let me know if you have wrong candy. I just, like, hide in the archive room and you don't. No, I'm just kidding. I don't
care. Wait, is that where you store all the candy for the meetings?
See.
You store it in the archives room.
That's why it's always long.
Is it right next to, like, 1970, like, archive year? Or, like, what specific year?
I really don't. I was just kidding, guys. Don't
don't
the candy.
Mess with candy.
Don't. You're going to make Aaron
and
get
And please
mad
get
at me.
Better candy.
Okay, I will try.
Reese's Pieces.
No, but yeah, I mean, I think it's a cool thing that they're doing. They're spending less money on it, you know. Maybe school spirit will increase a bit, you know. Everyone has their little R gear, and I don't know. Hopefully, maybe in the future I'll buy something actually, like, from the store. I don't know. When I think about buying it, I just think no. But, maybe I will. Yeah.
I always
one
feel
day.
Kind of bad when I see someone walking around campus and they have like a BYU or like a USC sweater on.
Yeah. No, yeah. I've seen a couple of people like that.
What are you doing
school.
Here?
And I'm like, why would you? I mean, I wouldn't even do that. My dad's like a USC alumni, so like our entire house is just USC everything. I have a bunch of USC stuff. But, like, I would never come here. Just
when I came
like...
here, I stopped wearing my Berkeley sweater. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I understand, like, if you went to, like, a study abroad college and you got one, well, like, I almost got, like, a University of Cambridge sweatshirt. But I'm like, that's way more expensive than even our universities. It was, like, 50,000 pounds. 50 pounds.
Wouldn't it be a jumper?
It was not a jump. Was it a jump? Is it called a jumper?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh,
a
God.
A jumper is, like, a sweater.
Well, I did not spend 50 pounds on a jumper.
Okay. All right. If you're just joining us, you're listening to the Highlander Newsroom, broadcasting on KUCR 88.3 FM, streaming online at KUCR.org, on the KUCR app from the App Store, or the TuneIn app on Android. So now, we're going to turn it on over to Pumpkin Spice. Dun, dun, dun.
Oh, God.
So, when it hits October, actually September...
I think, like, late August, you can maybe count for some
reasons.
Yeah,
you can find pumpkin things everywhere. Pumpkin lattes, pumpkin candy,
pumpkin
pies.
Dog
pumpkin...
treats.
Wow, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Never heard that one.
I can clarify this by someone who works at Starbucks. Apparently, they sell pumpkin spice dog treats at Starbucks.
That's nice.
No,
spread the joy to the dogs.
Your
the
dog
world.
Doesn't care, though. Like,
don't give your dogs glucose.
Oh,
dogs
gosh.
Evolved from wolves who primarily eat protein.
Yeah, so now, I mean, pretty much anywhere you go, you can find a pumpkin something. Do you guys like pumpkin flavored things?
Wait,
pumpkin spice?
Can we identify who likes pumpkin related things right now? So
okay.
I can glare at them.
We're gonna go ahead and just get this over with, a vote. Pumpkin spice, anything, lattes, whatever. Are you a fan?
I look forward to pumpkin pie. It's probably one of my favorite types of pie.
Okay.
And it's very much not my favorite thing at Starbucks, pumpkin spice, but I think I've gotten one or two pumpkin spice lattes since they came out, just because it's kind of with the season. And since I don't decorate my house or, like, watch Martha Stewart Living, that's my way to get in touch with August, because you can't get in touch with it weather-wise because it's still 90 degrees outside during the day. So, yeah, just, like, I really don't like peppermint mocha, but when December rolls around, I get it, just because scarcity, like, encourages people to buy. So, you know, I get pumpkin spice, and it's really sweet, and, like... I like it. I mean, it's not something I drink every year. I quite like it. I like pumpkin. It's very tasty.
Yeah.
All right. We got one for the pumpkin spice.
Yeah. I like it, but I don't understand people's infatuation, like, with it, like, why it's such a big... Like, I didn't realize how much of a cultural thing it was until I started seeing all those BuzzFeed articles or just all those random articles about pumpkin spice and... white girls drinking pumpkin spice lattes.
Yeah, in like UGG boots.
In UGG boots. Like,
yeah, that's
I didn't know that was such a big thing until I was like, oh, wow. Like, there are people actually tweeting and, like, people are actually really excited about pumpkin spice. It's good. Like, it reminds me of the holidays, but it's not something that I see as, like, a must-have for this season.
One thing I see is that a lot of the whole white girl pumpkin spice UGG boot thing, that seems to be a reactionary trend used as a pejorative. Maybe it's not as big of a part of the cultural zeitgeist as they make it appear to be. Maybe they're trying to make something that's a non-issue an issue just to get clicks. True. I mean, that's internet journalism 101. You try to go viral.
Honestly, BuzzFeed and Starbucks might have some sort of partnership we don't even know of.
Right? Conspiracy.
The Illuminati.
Well, always say Illuminati.
Off of what you were saying, I actually was talking to Crystal earlier about this article on Mike.com that talked about the history of pumpkin symbolism in America. Apparently, pumpkins are the among the oldest domesticated plants in the Americas, like I guess dating back like 10,000s of years, being used in Oaxaca, Mexico, and celebrations and stuff like that. But apparently, as time went on, it like came to represent like the farmers of the Northeast, and even the farmers of the South saw like a pumpkin as like a poor, like a symbol of like poor people. And then there's like some weird racial cartoons during this time too that depict that associate blacks with pumpkins as a form of derision.
Wait, seriously?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah. Attributing to like, and then I told Crystal about, oh yeah, the article says like this is why, you know, black Thanksgiving traditions tend to involve sweet potato pie as opposed to pumpkin pie.
Yeah, I was telling him like for Thanksgiving we don't really have pumpkin things around. I mean, my mom always made sweet potato pies, like that was just kind of it. So maybe like, yeah, it was interesting to hear that.
Yeah.
Because I was like,
yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah.
Honestly, whether or not taste it, the difference. They taste the same, sweet potato
they
and pumpkin
they
pie.
They taste so different to me.
I can't. I mean, pumpkin pie is okay.
Mm. I don't know. Yeah, actually.
It's in your face. You're just like.
When I first discovered like sweet potato pie, I was just like, what is this like heaven that got into my mouth? Because
so
I was just so used to like pumpkin pie every single year because my mom didn't know how to cook anything else apparently. But like, I don't know, something about sweet potato pie.
That was a very interesting
A little bit of Civil War history. During Sherman's March to the Sea, the Union Army was they would like raise like fields. I mean raise, not like from youth to adulthood,
but destroy
them.
Yeah.
But the crops that weren't destroyed were sweet potatoes because they didn't grow in the North, so they didn't recognize them as things to destroy to kind of like limit the Confederate Army's food supply. So I know I have some family that's from the South, and they always kind of looked at sweet potatoes as like a constant reminder that they were on the losing side of the war. So yeah.
Oh,
interesting.
Actually, for a while, I didn't even know pumpkins were orange.
Oh, really?
I mean, like, because I grew up in, like, when I was in, like, elementary school, I grew up in Japan. So, like, in Japan, like, you see, like, the pumpkins there are, like, usually green. They're green, and they're called, like, kabocha. Like, there's a specific kind, but, like, you didn't really see, like, orange pumpkins. You saw, like, kabocha.
Oh, okay.
So I thought for a long time, I was like, why would you make a jack-o'-lantern out of kabocha?
Right.
That's cool, I guess.
Well, what about you, Jessica? What side are you on?
I'm really neutral. I don't really care. I don't order order pumpkin spice, but I will be on the against side because just I've had people not attack, but like I just had people criticize me. It's like, you don't like pumpkin? What are you doing with your life? And just be like, my life doesn't depend on the fact that I don't eat pumpkin.
Right. No, I know what you mean.
You don't need to dramatize it so much, but like, because people, like some people will be like, some people like are into dramatizing it, which I guess is funny, but I'm just be like, why do you care?
Yeah. Right. No, yeah. I know what you mean.
I don't know.
Like, if I'm at Starbucks and I see it, I'm like, oh, like, pumpkin spice lattes are back. I'll get one. Like, it's fine.
Okay, so yeah, you're like me.
Right, yeah, it's like, it tastes good. I mean, they have all the, like, seasonal flavors, and that's cool. But, yeah, the obsession with it, I'll never understand. But I think that's just our generation's, like, I don't know, if you put anything on social media and, like, people just follow each other. And
no,
so
I mean,
like
that's how you got memes
spice.
Going on.
Yeah.
Like that.
And I feel like maybe people that don't even care that much, like they see like, oh, like pumpkin spice. Everyone loves pumpkin. Like, I'm just going to act crazy about pumpkin. Oh, pumpkin spice is back. Like,
The pumpkin spice craze, like I said, could be a reaction to people that criticize pumpkin spice. But I don't get criticism over anyone saying, oh, what's wrong with you? You don't like this food? It's like, it doesn't taste good in my mouth. I'm not going to eat it. Like, people are like, Bob, how do you not like tomatoes? I'm like, I just don't. They don't taste good. It's, I mean, honestly, if you don't like pumpkin spice, don't order it. If you like it, order it. But if you ever find that you're telling a story about your Starbucks order, you need to reevaluate what is an interesting tale to tell, because I've never heard an interesting
story
about
food. If anything, people should pay attention to, like, the pumpkin spice, like, advertisements, like, specifically at Starbucks. Because apparently right now they're advertising, like, pumpkin spice. Like, this time, it's real. And
it
I'm like,
a Twitter page.
Right, and it's like, this time it's real. Like, what do you mean,
as
like, this time it's real?
Were they fake people?
You guys have been, like, around for, like, 10 years. Yeah. What were you serving to us before?
It's artificial flavors. It's the difference between getting a pumpkin-flavored ester from a natural source or synthesizing it from, like, you know, chemicals in a lab. It's the same chemical at the end of the day. It's just where you get it from.
I don't know, but just making that difference is not going to make anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Other than just question me, and it's like, why are you trying to make it so obvious that it wasn't like really from pumpkins before? Mm-hmm.
To make money.
Yeah, but like, everybody will still spend the same amount, no matter if it's organic or not.
Yeah, I feel like in general, people probably wouldn't care. Like, no. Pumpkin spice.
It smells like it. It must be it.
Yeah. All right, guys. Did you have any favorite articles or anything in the paper this week that you really enjoyed? Personally, myself, I liked Nathan's spoken word article because I actually did go to that event, and it was pretty great. Like, all of the poets did a great job. And, it was, all of the poetry was really centered around, like, their personal experience with, like, race and their sexuality and things like that. They all had that common theme, but they were all very different, so I really enjoyed.
I heard there was, I didn't go to the event, but I heard, like, one poet was able to, like, connect, like, gentrification to a very personal story.
Like, one of the poems was about living in Brooklyn and like having cockroaches like just like in her house or something like that. Mm-hmm. And she was able to connect that like to gentrification, and it was very interesting the way she did it. But like, yeah, they all like talked about very heavy topics, but they were just really talented. I don't know. And there was also free hot chocolate, so
oh my god,
that made me very happy. But
sorry, going back to the whole pumpkin spice thing, I don't care about pumpkin spice, but if you mention hot chocolate, I am so on board with that.
Yeah, hot chocolate's great. But yeah, any favorite things in the paper, things that happened last week?
Maybe this is my own bias because it's my fellow assistant editor, but I really liked Ixia Johnson's music review of Vanessa Carlton's album Leon.
Ah, okay, yeah.
I like
Vanessa
it.
Carlton's I like back, it. Guys.
Yeah, she's back. I like when people take on artists who like are can be easily written off as like, oh, whatever. Like even Ixia, like in the opening paragraph, she just addresses like, yeah, I know that like, you know, everyone like the joke about 1,000 miles is like the longest joke ever for Vanessa Carlton, but. Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you why I like her music anyways. And then she goes on and she does a really good job of doing it. So I have to applaud her for that, especially because we can definitely bag on her for her near obsession with Vanessa Carlton. But that's okay.
Vanessa Carlton is like worth having an obsession over. I'm sorry.
I completely agree. I don't know who Vanessa Carlton is.
Yeah. You know that.
You know that song. I mean, Crystal, go.
Yeah. What song?
You know I walk a thousand.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right, I don't that like
movie,
Vanessa
the White
Carlton.
Chicks movie. The White Chicks movie. Have you seen White Chicks?
Oh, yeah, with the Wayans brothers?
Yes. They had this whole moment with that song.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Like
But literally, that's the only song I know by her, too. So.
Yeah. I had two I liked. I liked Aaron Gretsch's In Retrospect on Earl Sweatshirt and his mixtape because whether you like them or not, Odd Future, you know, Tyler and Earl and all the people from Odd Future, Wolfgang killed them all, they've become part of, you know, hip-hop history now. Everyone knows who they are, and I think it's interesting to look back, because I remember when I first heard Earl's mixtape, I was like, what? This guy's really violent. What? He's 14? Like, it was definitely different. I liked that, and I liked Cody Wynn's article on Starfish Sushi, because after I read that review, I went and I got Starfish Sushi, and I spent way too much money. So,
how was it?
It's very delicious. Nice. But I kind of like, we ordered one roll after another until the next thing we know, it's you get a bill and you're like, oh. I wish I could wash dishes in the back.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
All right. Well, this has been the Highlander Newsroom on KUCR 88.3 FM. The Newsroom is a co-production of the Highlander Newspaper and KUCR. The opinions expressed on today's show belong solely to their owners and do not represent KUCR, the Highlander, or the Associated Students. Special thanks to Louis Vandenberg, Monica Taylor, Eddie Valencia, Elliot Fong, Tina Bold, and Alex Hill. I'm going to say go out and get you some pumpkin spice flavored things. Celebrate the holidays, but don't lose your mind over it, because there's no point. And yeah.
I'm going to say to counter that, go get some hot chocolate, because not only are you prepping for fall, you're prepping for Christmas.
Yeah.
So yeah.
I'm going to say that issues like this divide our country and don't bring unification. So go get hot chocolate and pumpkin spice and mix them together.
Yeah.
I'm going to say yes on the pumpkin spice. And while you're in your car, if you happen to find yourself in your car on Thursday from 12 to 1, listen to KUCR because that's when my show is called The Wiretap. So check it out.
Wow.
Cool. Thank you for,
all right, thank
for that
you for listening.